And good afternoon. Very nice to have your company too. 101 if you're texting us. If you happen to be emailing the panel at radionz.co.nz, Zara Potts today with what the world's talking about. The word of the year, and what do you think about their choice? The heartwarming research on altruism. The human race isn't just venal now. What happens to you when your age has a 9 in it? 29, 39, 49, 59, 69. Is life balance getting better or worse? The superhero that'll save Europe. LSD on your supermarket steak, that wouldn't be very funny. Oh, you're not doing that one?
No.
Oh, I would have chosen that story.
Look at me shaking. I couldn't open that one.
Oh, couldn't you?
I had difficulty looking at
it. Oh, okay, I can summarise it for you. Somebody bought at Walmart. I didn't know Walmart sold meat, but you would know that, living in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
And they got their meat home from the supermarket, and it had LSD, and they had it all had it for dinner.
Ooh.
And it was a very strange experience for the family. I've summarised it for
Walmart
you.
Walmart sells everything, don't they?
Nobody knows how the LSD got onto the steak, but that was a very nasty trick.
Oh, that's not good.
And who in the world drinks the most? Steve McCabe and Tainui Stevens. I don't know if Tainui's with us yet, but Steve is. Hello, Steve.
Good afternoon.
On the panel today, more analysis of the Labour leadership. Gee, isn't it starting to get expensive living in Auckland? Is it getting dodgier on public transport? Does wildlife really have no place in a museum? More opinions about Roger Sutton. And the scattering of ashes controversy blows into Christchurch now. Zara.
Hello.
Very nice to see you. Now, first of all, we mentioned that they'd left a line out of the new Band-Aid song.
Oh, yes. This is the revamped version of Do They Know It's Christmas? Have you heard that?
No, I haven't. I've avoided it.
Well, this version is, of course, raising money for Ebola. And you were just saying, Jim, that the single has had a few changes of lyrics to reflect this. And that includes the famous line that was sung by Bono in the 1984 version. And that originally went, well, tonight, thank God, it's them instead of you.
I've always been bothered by that line.
Right.
It's awful.
Well, it's kind of honest, though, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. And arguably, a lot of people say it's the song's actually the best line in that song.
It's the best song line, I'll give you that one.
Yeah, in that song. Well, it's gone. It is not in the new version. And presumably that's because somebody took it, may have taken it the wrong way and sent out an angry tweet about it. But the line has been changed to, well, tonight we're reaching out and touching you. Now, the Guardian newspaper put it yesterday.
Can I just say, by the way, considering this is now raising funds for Ebola victims, that's probably not a good modification.
The touching, no. Now, the Guardian newspaper yesterday, they put it that it sounds a little bit like that line was written in the back of a One Direction tour bus.
Yes.
And at worst, it could sound a little Gary Glitterish.
It is not one of the great lines in
a
song.
Not a great line. And as you say, there is criticism around whether that's the best bit of advice to reach out and touch. And when you're talking about,
you wonder how that line got through, actually.
And
of course, and now they're all talking about it online and in all the newspapers, and it undercuts the value of the song for Ebola.
Yeah, and I mean, it's not just the lyrics that are copying it. I mean, there's grumbles about all sorts of things, about the video, about the fact that if you're over 30, you don't know anyone in there apart from Bono.
You do.
The fact that, apparently, you know,
Sinead's back there.
Sinead's there. Chris Martin. So there's quite a bit of grinchiness going on, I think, by the critics here.
This is not a song that stands up to close analysis, though, to be fair. It was written back in, was it 1983, wasn't it, Christmas
pretty
time.
Good back then.
Yeah, and it was written overnight. The whole thing was put together within about 24 hours by Bob Geldof and Meek
But
York.
As we said the other day, that was its great virtue.
Yes, it was. And so analysing it as a work of art is to miss the point.
Mm.
And it's done its job repeatedly over the years as a vehicle for raising funds for very needy causes. So to start analysing, I mean, first of all, as a piece of music, it's dreadful.
I don't know. I liked it.
I liked it too.
Tainui Stevens liked it. Kia ora, Tainui.
Kia ora, Jim. Kia ora, guys.
I don't know if you liked it or not, but anyway.
No,
I
didn't.
Say you did.
Anything to be contrary.
That's right.
It'll sell like hotcakes. It will. I think it'll be.
As well, it should.
Who chose these panellists today? Now, the word of the year.
Yes. Now, last year, the Oxford English Dictionary's word of the year was selfie. And so, any guesses as to what might be the word of the year this year? I'm going to give you some of the runners up. There was selectivism, which is a great word. There was bay, and there was indie ref, which came out of the Scottish referendum.
You've got echo in your voice now. How come you've got echo? I've got echo in my voice.
Oh, maybe it's the Band-Aid thing.
That may be tended to shortly when someone appears in the other control room.
Okay. Shall we just go with echo?
Sorry, the runners-up were
so
what?
The runners-up were selectivism, bay, and indie ref, which came out of the Scottish referendum. But they all came close. There was they didn't win, though. The winning word, the 2014 word of the year, is vape.
Is that the word of the year, vape?
To be honest, I hadn't actually heard of the word vape.
Selfie was a word of the
Selfie
year.
Selfie was, yeah, it was. And it's look, it's interesting how they come up with this, because the OED, they come up with the winning word by compiling a shortlist from around 150 million English words, and the winning word has to be a word that will have lasting potential as a word of cultural significance. And, of course, vaping is the act of inhaling from an electronic cigarette, and this the use of this term has doubled in the last year, I guess, with more people giving up smoking and inhaling this. It's become quite popular. So it does fill a gap in the lexicon, is that there did need to be a word that distinguished it from smoking, and it has got sort of offshoots and things like that. But it is on the rise, but you won't find that every dictionary is in agreement with it being the word of the year. Chambers Dictionary has plumped for overshare as its word of the year, which I like. Overshare, you know, when you overshare stuff, that's their word of the year, oversharing. Mm-hmm. And gosh, that is a good echo, isn't it? I feel like I'm in a cave.
It's quite wonderful.
And the Collins Dictionary opted for photobomb, which I would have thought was a better word of the year.
But is it for this year? I mean, it could be the word of 2012.
2014.
But vaping actually only refers to smoking, I think, inhaling a certain type of e-cigarette anyway.
That's true.
It'll be like nugget for shoe polish. It'll come to be refer to all types of faux smoking.
And it's surely like there are far more people who are interested in taking photos of themselves than there are smokers trying to vape. I'm not into vaping.
No vaping.
I've never seen any selfies of vaping.
No, I haven't seen any selfies of vaping either.
No, but if you were to photobomb somebody who was taking vaping. A selfie while vaping, you could just like hit several years zeitgeist at once, couldn't you?
That would be oversharing.
It would. Yeah. Absolutely.
And speaking of vaping.
Yes, on the topic of vaping, it appears that the sale of vaporizers and the e-liquids that go into them have exceeded electronic cigarette sales for the first time by $500 million, which is a huge amount. Now, these vaporizers are proliferating as a part of a subculture within society, which is quite interesting because they basically allow smokers to purchase this e-liquid and refill their cigarettes with it, and they can change.
So it's like roll your own.
Yeah, but they can change the nicotine dose and they can change the flavour, so you can have strawberry flavoured vaporizers and things like that. Now, in the US, these vape shops are setting up this the e-liquid equivalent of wine tasting.
No.
Yes, so one manufacturer believes that this particular kind of smoking or vaping will eventually become associated with a sense of luxury, just like, I guess, smoking was back in the 30s and 40s.
Who would actually? It sounds more like a bong.
It does.
It does have that aspect, doesn't it? Yes.
It does.
Can I just say, I've never heard the word bong uttered with such beautiful gravity as that before. That was magnificent.
It was word of the year in 1971.
Very fond of the vowels and the consonants in our tongue.
Oh, yes.
So vaporizers now contribute in America more than $1.5 billion to the market in the US, and it's expected that sales for vaporizers will reach $10 billion by 2017.
Still can't use them on planes?
No. Mm. No, you can't.
Now, this is a heartwarming experiment out of Yale University.
It is. And this, now, you might have heard of this in the early 60s, a sort of a similar experiment out of Yale, which measured the willingness of students to obey an order even when obeying that order conflicted with their personal conscience. It was called the Milgram experiment, I think. And it had students give each other electric shocks, and the results basically showed that the students were willing to deliver these awful shocks to anonymous victims when they were told to do it.
Famous.
Now, a similar experiment has been conducted to see what the outcome would be when given the choice of hurting yourself or someone else, an anonymous someone else, in exchange for money. So basically looking at how altruistic we are. And it's interesting because in this experiment, participants were forced to choose between pain and profit. And previous research had found that just thinking about money makes people behave more selfishly.
Selfish.
So they thought that, this will be a gimme pretty much. Mm. So it worked like this. They were given different deals to choose from. They could they could get money for doling out less shocks or more shocks. And whatever they decided, they would always get the money. Whether they received the shocks or gave the shocks, they always got the money. The computer decided who actually received the shocks. But what the outcome of this was quite unexpected, because it revealed that participants cared more about other people's well-being than their own. So they were prepared to get about 30 cents less on each shock to receive fewer of them themselves, but they were willing to lose twice that, so about 60 cents per shock, not to inflict it on someone else.
I can't completely follow the money trail here, but the upshot of it was that they were reluctant to hurt other people. They would take the pain themselves.
They would take the pain, and they would take less money to get the pain, or no, no, they would, yeah, that's quite confusing, isn't it? Basically, they would, yeah, they would prefer to hurt themselves than give a shock to somebody else.
That's great research.
Really nice.
This is a good thing, isn't it?
It's a very good thing.
Yeah, it's good. And, I mean, the psychologists that were leading this were quite surprised by it because they were saying intuition dictates that people should be, would be willing to hurt people to take more money.
Yeah.
But in actual
that's
fact,
what we've
that's
been
not
led to believe in recent years.
Good result
true.
For humanity.
Yeah, we have a future.
We do have a future, good. According to that, I think.
Russia on Wikipedia.
Yeah, now Russia's not happy with the internet, or it could be that President Putin's not very happy with the internet. In fact, he has been reported saying that the web is nothing more than a CIA special project. Now, the reason why Russia is unhappy with the internet is because people say mean things about Russia on the internet. And so to help set the record straight, Russia is in the process of creating an alternative Wikipedia, which does not say mean things about Russia. Which
it's a good idea, isn't it?
It is a good idea, but it's kind of, isn't Wikipedia about the fact that you can kind of go in and edit it and people can add their own things?
This yeah, well, they're heavily editing it.
Yes, they will be heavily editing. So basically, they've tried editing Wikipedia pages themselves, but they've found keeping up with the eager editors too cumbersome, so they're just going to do their self-styled version of Wikipedia.
Splendid idea. Now, the ages with nine in them.
Yeah, this is interesting. New research on the power of numbers today and how this can affect our lives. The National Academy of Sciences has revealed that the year before you begin a new decade, so 29, 39, 49 and so on, tend to be spent in self-reflection. And so it turns out that when you reach these ages, you are more likely to do certain things in these years than in others. So, for example, the data that they've collected shows that you are much more likely to run a marathon if you're 28 or 29 or 29, 39, 49, any year ending in 9.
No, I don't really remember that happening, to be honest.
And you're more likely to finish faster if you're 29 or 39 or 49 than you are if you're 28 or 38.
Oh, why is that?
Well, doesn't really show why. It just says that you are.
Does 9 make you go faster?
Well, it does. It also found, or the scientists also found, that you're more likely to have an affair if you're in the last year of a decade, if you're a man.
Oh, because you're questioning your self-worth.
Yeah, and they're speculating that this is because in the year before we enter a new decade of life, we become preoccupied with ageing and the meaning of life, which in turn is linked to a rise in behaviours that suggest a search for meaning or what's known as a midlife crisis.
You've got all three of us thinking now whether we became contemplative, energetic
at that stage.
Yes.
Yeah, I think you do though, don't you? You just start to reflect on things at the end of a decade.
That's just ordinary growth pains. I mean, I did the numerology thing a while ago when I changed to use my Māori name, and the numbers crunched in my favour, so I went for it.
Right. Oh, what's your best number?
Oh, I think it was 7 back then.
7?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, they're saying, look, you should, if you're aiming to make big life changes like smoking, stopping smoking or losing weight,
the best
do
age.
It when you're 29 or 39 or 49 because you've got more chance, apparently, of succeeding because that's when you make your big changes.
That's a very bad excuse for a 22-year-old smoker, isn't it? Zara Potts, thank you so much. What the world's talking about. Steve McCabe with me in Auckland on the panel today, and in Wellington, Tainui Stevens coming up.